This morning, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi gave an update on the House's impeachment inquiry into President Trump.
Our democracy is what is at stake. The president leaves us no choice but to act because he is trying to corrupt once again the election for his own benefit. The president has engaged in abuse of power, undermining our national security and jeopardizing the integrity of our elections. His actions are in defiance of the vision of our founders and the oath of office that he takes to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Sadly, but with confidence and humility, with allegiance to our founders and a heart full of love for America, today I am asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment.
That was House Speaker Nancy Pelosi speaking this morning. And that move could set the stage for a deeply partisan vote before the end of this year. Joining us in studio now to discuss it is NPR senior editor and correspondent Ron Elving. He's also a lecturer at American University's School of Public Affairs. American owns the license to WAMU, which produces 1A. Ron, welcome back to the program.
Good to be with you, Joshua.
We also welcome your questions and comments, 1A at WAMU.org. Tweet us at 1A or comment on our Facebook page. Ron, I'm not sure that the announcement this morning surprised me. It seemed like kind of a fait accompli that the Democrats were going to draw up the articles of impeachment anyway. So what was the significance of Nancy Pelosi's announcement this morning?
It didn't seem surprising to you because you've been following this process. You were following yesterday's hearings. You were following the House Intelligence Committee's hearings, and you knew where this was going. But there are a lot of people in the country who really don't tune into these things until very official announcements are made by people they recognize on television. So that was clearly Nancy Pelosi's intent here. And really all the way back into September when she announced they were going to go forward with something that would be considered a pre-impeachment hearing in the House Intelligence Committee. All the way back to that, she has really been the person who has put this on the map for ordinary Americans. So that was the significance of what happened this morning. But you're absolutely right. The direction of this, the direction of the wind, has been clear for a number of days now and certainly was clear from yesterday's hearing.
What's the timetable for this? We're in the House Judiciary Committee hearings now. We'll talk more about that in a minute. We had a few weeks of hearings in the House Intelligence Committee. Those were the fact-finding hearings. So what happens now?
What happens now is that Gerald Nadler, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, and his other Democrats and staff are going to draw up specific articles of impeachment. Now, this is important because that will be the format for the trial that will happen in the Senate. Now, we're assuming, of course, that these articles will pass in the committee. We can probably tell you the vote right now. And then they will pass on the House floor. That might be a little trickier to tell the vote, but we will assume that it'll be close to party lines. We have not heard of any Republican defectors. And then it will go to the Senate. And what the Senate will actually consider are the charges that come from these articles. These are, if you will, like the elements of an indictment when someone is indicted by a authority at the state or the federal level for a crime.
Now, reaction to Pelosi's statement was swift, including from the president. Here is a two-tweet thread that he sent out just within the last few minutes, I should say. The president tweeted, quote, "The do-nothing radical left Democrats have just announced that they are going to seek to impeach me over nothing. They already gave up on the ridiculous Mueller stuff," quote-unquote stuff. "So now they hang their hats on two totally appropriate, in parentheses perfect, phone calls with the Ukrainian president. This will mean that the beyond important and seldom used act of impeachment will be used routinely to attack future presidents. That is not what our founders had in mind. The good thing is that the Republicans have never been more united. We will win," unquote. Those are two of the tweets that the president sent just within the last few minutes. Not sure how you react to those tweets, but I do take the last sentence, the next to last sentence, "the Republicans have never been more united." If you watch the hearings, Ron, that's exactly what it sounded like.
Yes, the Republicans are pretty much uniform down the line. We have not heard any senators say that they're planning to vote for the articles of impeachment. That is Republican senators. Actually, we haven't heard any senators commit one way or the other, but we're always watching for any signs of defection because if you go back to the Nixon case in 1973, 74, it was the erosion of his Republican support that really sealed the deal and made him resign. So, of course, you watch for that. We also watch for it with Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton wound up with pretty good outcome in the Senate. They couldn't get even a simple majority for either of the two articles that were approved in 1998 by this process. And that was in a Republican Senate, and they couldn't get even a simple majority, let alone the two-thirds that would be necessary to remove from office. So, no, we're not seeing any defections from Republicans at this point. There might be a few Democrats who don't want to go along in the House. We shall see. I don't think they'll be on the House Judiciary Committee. That looks like a pretty much perfect phalanx. But if you get to the House floor, there could be a few Democrats who don't go the party way.
The beginning of the president's tweet also in terms of the radical left Democrats announced that they're going to impeach me over nothing. They gave up on the Mueller stuff, so now they hang their hats on these phone calls. That was another through line from the hearings yesterday where you had the ranking member, Doug Collins from Georgia, making that point at the beginning, at the end, and then a number of the other members saying, this is just the Democrats who are ticked over an election that they lost. They've been trying since the election to get President Trump out. They don't know if they can do it in 2020, so they think that this is their chance to cut him at the knees before he can get a second term.
That is the line from the Republicans. And if you look at these two tweets, I think there is one thing we can all agree on, and that is that impeachment has been rarely used. Apart from that, pretty much everything the president says is either factually not true or certainly disputable. For example, have the Democrats given up on the Mueller, quote, stuff, unquote? Not at all. It came up a number of times in yesterday's hearing, and it came up a number of times in the House Intelligence Committee. Now, they may not actually hang any of the articles of impeachment on the Mueller material, but the whole second volume of Robert Mueller's report was a detailing of all the ways in which the president had obstructed justice and done other things that, if he were not the president, would be indictable crimes. But Mueller would not say he would indict him because he said he was forbidden from doing that by an opinion of the Justice Department that dates back decades, and that is still policy at the Justice Department. So that was the official final line of the Mueller report, but all that material in Volume 2 has been described as actually a pathway, if you will, a roadmap to how you could impeach the president. I don't think the Democrats have given up on that. It is the background for everything that has happened with respect to Ukraine and with respect to this fall.
We're speaking to NPR's Ron Elving about the announcement this morning that House Democrats will begin to formally draw up articles of impeachment. We'll, of course, pick this up tomorrow on the Friday News Roundup, but we welcome your early questions and reactions today, 1A@WAMU.org. Let's get into some of what the witnesses said yesterday. There were four law professors, three who were called by Democrats, one who was called by Republicans. The one Republican witness, or the witness called by Republicans, I don't know if he is a Republican, is Professor Jonathan Turley, who teaches at George Washington University's Law School here in D.C. The committee spent a lot of yesterday questioning witnesses on the merits of the argument to impeach President Trump. So yesterday was not about putting more facts on the table. It was about interpreting the facts that had been presented in the Intelligence Committee and seeing if it was enough to draw articles of impeachment. Here's what Professor Turley said about what the president calls a perfect phone call.
It's not wrong because President Trump is right. His call was anything but perfect. It's not wrong because the House has no legitimate reason to investigate the Ukrainian controversy. It's not wrong because we're in an election year. There is no good time for an impeachment. No, it's wrong because this is not how you impeach an American president. This case is not a case of the unknowable. It's a case of the peripheral. We have a record of conflicts, defenses that have not been fully considered, unsubpoenaed witness with material evidence. To impeach a president on this record would expose every future president to the same type of inchoate impeachment.
That was law professor Jonathan Turley of the George Washington University testifying yesterday. Ron, I understand his argument in terms of saying that this is not enough to impeach a president. Procedurally, I mean, the fact that it didn't go through a select committee, that it didn't have this mountain of evidence to base the impeachment on. He's saying that if the president is impeachable, this is not enough to make it stick or to make it a proper precedent.
Well, first of all, Jonathan Turley does not consider himself a Republican and did not consider himself to be making the Republicans' case yesterday. He was making a narrow legal point that you would be better off if you had, as you say, a mountain of evidence and not what Turley called a wafer-thin body of evidence or record. What he didn't really deal with is the difficulty of getting that mountain of evidence when the president has refused to have documents or witnesses actually produced. So if the president won't let the the witnesses who are the fact witnesses testify and won't let you see the documents that would be the mountain of evidence, how do you get the mountain of evidence? And that's the dilemma for the Democrats. So Turley defined that pretty well. At the same time, he was putting Republicans in a bind by saying the phone call wasn't perfect. It might very well be impeachable. We'd just like to see more evidence of that. And of course, the Republicans are trying to maintain the president's line that there's nothing to see here at all.
And that's kind of the crux of this, isn't it, Ron? I mean, you know, the Democratic argument is basically like, how much more evidence do you need? You know, Michael Flynn got in trouble before Donald Trump was sworn in as president. So this is kind of a running gag. This is just the obviously impeachable thing. That's the Democratic argument. Republicans are saying that that's a weak argument because the money to Ukraine for the Javelin missiles ultimately flowed. They never actually talked about a quid pro quo. The president never said that he wanted a personal favor. So there's no there there. So if this is indeed as wafer thin as Jonathan Turley says it is, from the Republican side, they should be able to just kind of flick it down with a swat of their hand and move on.
Think of it as a disciplinary procedure that follows upon a, quote, last straw offense. So that someone who has been warned and warned again and warned again continues a particular kind of offensive behavior, and you finally reach the point of the straw that breaks the camel's back. Is it wafer thin that it's a straw? Or is it important that it finally broke the camel's back? And in this case, taking the Mueller report, taking everything else that is in evidence, the final evidence of the phone call, and by the way, we still haven't seen the final actual transcript of that. That, too, is being withheld by the White House, and it's been put on a super secret server that's used for things like the nuclear codes. There's so much withheld evidence here that that ultimately becomes obstruction of justice in itself in the eyes of the Democrats.
I'm Joshua Johnson. You're listening to 1A. Let's get to a question from Sylvia, who emailed, since the Senate will not impeach, why not challenge the president's stonewalling in the courts to try to get Pompeo, Bolton, Mulvaney on the stand, even if this takes time? So Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, former National Security Advisor John Bolton, the acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, and Mick Mulvaney the one who said get over it when it comes to politics in foreign policy, why not go after them and try to work their way in to the president?
The last word in the caller's sentence or question is the crucial word, time. It would take a great deal of time. Now, theoretically, the Supreme Court could do what it did in Bush v. Gore in 2000 and say, whoa, this is important. This is who's going to be president of the United States. We've got to do this fast and move it through the court system in a matter of weeks or months. In this instance, there's no indication that the court would take that. There's no indication the court would see it like Bush v. Gore when we literally didn't know who had been elected president in that election. So, in the usual course of things, a couple months in district court, a couple more months for appeals court, and then certainly another couple, 3 months for the Supreme Court, which doesn't even sit in the summer. So we could be into the fall of next year, literally in the weeks before the election, and having the president then tried on the floor of the Senate. I don't think anybody really wants that.
Let's get to a clip from one of the witnesses called by Democrats. Here is Michael Gerhart, who is a law professor from the University of North Carolina.
If what we're talking about is not impeachable, then nothing is impeachable. This is precisely the misconduct that the framers created a constitution, including impeachment, to protect against. And if there's no action, if Congress concludes they're going to give a pass to the president here, as Professor Carlin suggested earlier, every other president will say, okay, then I can do the same thing, and the boundaries will just evaporate.
That's UNC law professor Michael Gerhart. And Ron, what he's basically saying is like, duh, how much more evidence do you need? Like, this is obvious. It couldn't be clearer. The witnesses made this clear. Every Republican argument has been knocked down. How could you not see this as impeachable? That was the line from all three of the witnesses that Democrats called. Almost like if you don't consider this impeachable, you have a hole in your head.
There is a consensus among a great number of constitutional scholars that this is exactly the kind of presidential behavior where he is subordinating the national interest, and in this case, that would be our national policy to support Ukraine and defend them against the gradual invasion of their country that is actually literally taking place by the Russians. Our policy is to defend them from that. The president interrupted that. said, I'm not going to give you the emblematic meeting of our support, that's a White House meeting. And I'm also holding up that $400 million in actual, literal military aid to go to the front. And because I need a favor, though. I need a favor. I need something. And he said, we. And there was an argument yesterday as to what he meant by we. But it's pretty clear from what he's asking for that what he's looking for is some kind of support for his argument about what happened in 2016 and some help with his likely, or he thought at that time, likely opponent in 2020, Joe Biden.
Before I let you go, we should note that NPR News is just now reporting that the House Judiciary Committee will hold a hearing on Monday morning, 9 a.m., to hear presentations from the staff counsels in the Intelligence Committee on the evidence in the impeachment inquiry of President Trump. Ron, before we go, this could be the hearing that, if you've ignored everything else, this could be the one that kind of cliffs notes the whole thing for you in terms of the argument for and against and the counter arguments for each.
One hopes. One hopes that those who have shrugged their shoulders and said, oh, that's just more stuff in Washington, those people will tune in on Monday to see what this 300-page report from House Intelligence distills to, what can be presented in the matter of minutes and hours. Just set aside a little time. Watch this on Monday. Make up your own mind.
And of course, it's going to be the height of decorum and civility and good behavior in Congress. And
it might not be that bad. Yesterday was supposed to be a circus, and it wound up being actually rather educational.
It was educational. It was definitely spicy. It was not boring. It was not boring at all. That's NPR senior editor and correspondent Ron Elving, also a lecturer at American University's School of Public Affairs. Ron, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you, Joshua.
Hey, listen, as more questions occur to you about all of this, do send them in, 1A@WAMU.org. We'll pick this up tomorrow on the Roundup. This conversation was produced by James Morrison, Amanda Williams, Danielle Knight, and Catherine Fink. You can learn about our team at the 1A.org. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Joshua Johnson. Thanks for listening, and we will see you tomorrow for the Roundup. This is 1A.